Okay, the Center for Digital Humanities at the University of South Carolina has existed officially since about last July, when it was recognized by the trustees of the university and by the Commission on Higher Education in the state of South Carolina. Before that, there was a two-year pilot phase funded with one-time money, during which we were basically charged to demonstrate our viability. That's how we got to the where we are part. And if I could back up for a moment, one thing I'd like to emphasize about how we got started and got to where we are is that, like many centers, we started out as a project that discovered it didn't have the infrastructure it needed to prosper. I came to the University of South Carolina in 2004, so this is very recent, and I came with a research agenda in hand that involved an editing project. About 5 years old at that point. And it had begun, I think, as a fairly traditional kind of book editing project. We wanted to do a new edition of the works of Edmund Spencer, a great Renaissance poet. Very early on in that process, we realized that editing was changing radically and forever, that what we needed to do was to build a digital archive from which various hardcover editions might be excerpts, but that what we were really doing was creating a new research environment and new research techniques from which to derive the edition we would ultimately publish. That's important to me because, for me, the emergence of digital humanities centers like ours is involved in, as I said before, a pretty fundamental transformation in methods of research and teaching in the humanities. It matters to me a lot that our digital humanities center wouldn't exist if it weren't for a grant from NEH, but not from the NEH Digital Humanities Division. It was a scholarly editions grant that enabled me to hire a project director who then worked with me to circulate the initial proposal to establish a Center for Digital Humanities on our campus, because we said, hey, I didn't know that the University of South Carolina had a technological infrastructure that is the opposite of robust when I went there, but I quickly found it out. And we have actually very strong, you see the upper right-hand corner of that slide, Chief Information Officer is one of our principal supporters financially as well as just in terms of advocacy. That said, we looked around and we said there must be other projects like this that need this kind of infrastructure. There should be a center so we could all pool our resources, draw on some common, both human and technological resources to serve multiple projects like this. And that was really how we got started. We then eventually did get funding support for a project or two from the digital humanities part of the National Center, in the National Endowment, but that came after the university had ponied up about $250,000 of startup funds for the first couple of years. Our business model initially was basically the scavenger hunt, with a couple of bake sales and a lawn sale thrown in. We got money from the College of Arts and Sciences, we got money from the provost, but we also had smaller bits of support pledged from the Department of English, History, Philosophy, Art, the Women's and Gender Studies Program, the Southern Studies Institute, the School of Library and Information Science, the Department of Computer Science and Engineering, all became basically stakeholders and have representation on our board of directors, our campus advisory board. That's what got us to the stage we're at. The situation is very much in flux. I mentioned earlier that we're hoping to get a permanent budget now. I've applied for one. But our position within the university is uncertain as well. Seriously. The Dean of Arts and Sciences is determined to keep the Center for Digital Humanities inside the college. And part of what's going on is that these three units within the university are trying to decide how big a piece of us they want and what it's going to cost them to get it. And I don't know the answers to those questions, but I think it's an interesting conversation.
The answer is a lot.
Yeah. So that's all being played out in an interesting moment within the university's evolution. In-house, we have three staff members right now, plus a lot of graduate and undergraduate students, and we have a dozen or solve projects and adding new ones every week. None of our staff are on permanent funding. There, two of them are on what are called time-limited positions, and the third one is temporary. That's an interesting semantic distinction. I am hoping to get them all redone as permanent appointments in the next year, but we'll see. I don't know. Can we go to the second slide?
Is that it?
What we want to be. Tiny. That's still the first slide.
There we go.
What we want to be. That associate dean for research and graduate education who's under the blue arrow, I learned last week that that position may cease to exist. It may be eliminated in budget reductions. So already, I don't know what that means. He has been our reporting channel to the Dean of Arts and Sciences and should be our reporting channel to the Vice President for Research and Graduate Education. The main changes that I'm hoping we can institute, I didn't get this slide quite right. They're in blue at the bottom there. You see I want to add three more staff members. It's actually four. Our lead programmer right now is doing three different jobs, and she doesn't want to do more than two, and I think that's fair. So right now, she is our system administrator. She is in charge of both image analysis and text analysis projects, and she's looking a little pale. We want to add another programmer to split off a specialist in image analysis from a specialist in data analysis. Want to add a project manager. Want to have someone whose sole responsibility is systems administration, because right now that's a real tough deal for us. We don't have adequate backup at all, and nobody wants to give it to us. And we want to do an education and outreach specialist because, frankly, we feel that in the academic community at the University of South Carolina right now, educating the faculty and the university community about the kinds of things we're trying to accomplish should be a primary part of our mission. There's a lot to be done there. So that's the quick version of it.
Okay. Wonderful. All right. I think we're on to Mark, the last one for this particular chunk of time.